Hello, this is Father Schnuder Mansour. Welcome to Coptic Voice Radio, proudly brought by the Coptic Orthodox Synod and affiliate region. With me I have
Michael.
And I have also
Richard.
Today we'll be speaking about the steps to the kingdom of heaven. Today we're talking about the mysterious of the heaven, the parable of the soils. The Advent. What is meant by Advent? Why does God allow doubts to come into our lives? But the kingdom, the parables, what are there for us, for our learning? And many, many more. Hanukkah, the festival of lights and the feast of lights and the Jewish feast and the Hindu feast. Why does God put all this for our learning? Steps to the kingdom of heaven. And after a short break, we shall go straight into the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, from verses 1 to 9.
I've seen the world, done it all, had my cake now. I am immense, brilliant, and brilliant now. Hot summer nights, mid July, when you and I were forever wild. The crazy days, city lights, the way you'd play with me like a child. Will you still love me when I'm no longer young and beautiful? Will you still love me when I got nothing but my aching soul? I know you will, I know you will, I know that you will. Seen the world lit it up as my stage now, channeling angels in the new age now. Hot summer days, rock and roll, the way you play for me at your show, and all the ways I got to know your pretty face and electric soul. Will you still love me when I'm no longer young and beautiful? Will you still love me when I got nothing but my aching soul? I know you will, I know you will, I know that you will.
Father, tell me if you can.
Still love.
And now we're ready for our gospel reflection. Gospel St. Matthew chapter 13 from verse 1 to verse 9. In the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Spirit. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground, and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, Why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Glory be God, the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. What is Jesus saying to you and me? On he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Hearing about the parable, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. What is meant by a sower went out to sow? What did he sow? He sowed the word of God. And the word of God can be snapped and snatched away from each of us if our hearts is like a stony ground or withered away by other things around the world that does not allow the word of God to grow mighty in and between the hands of God. When the word of God grows, it can produce fruits 30 and 60 and 100-fold. Your heart, my friend, is always designed, Jesus, because our Lord Jesus grants us the wisdom to accept, grant us the wisdom to understand, grant us the wisdom to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Why did Jesus spoke in parables about the kingdom of heaven? What's so mysterious about the parables to be in the kingdom of heaven, as opposed to speaking plainly for those who hear, may hear and understand that God speaks to you and me about the mysteries of God on a constant daily routine. Why do you think this is the case? Because the love of God is great. He wants to see you in the kingdom of heaven. He wants to see me in the kingdom of heaven. God's love is awesome, and the spirit of Advent is awesome. Michael, what are your reflection on this?
I think this gospel reflects the stages of our spiritual life, because at the beginning of any human spiritual life start very from the far, like the seeds fall on a side road. And the bird come and eat it quickly because you didn't go on the depth yet. And then that's a difference. That's the first stage. And the second one is when the one fall and a thorn and when you start to grow the fruit and still the thorn try to attack the fruit, the fruit of the spirit. And then, but this is not the way, not the end yet. Till you reach the good ground, and this is the one that Jesus wants us to be, like fruit, get the fruit 60 and more and more and more. That's reflect our stages for spiritual life. That's, I think that's how it's reflected.
Awesome expression, Michael. Richard.
Yes, Father. I kind of got a couple of things out of it. The first thing that popped into my mind when you said, sorry, not when you, when it said, wow, it just completely slipped my mind. whoever has ears, let him listen. It just, to me, that means that the gospel of God's word should be allowed for everyone to be to hear it. The church should not be selective about who comes into the church and who comes in to worship God. Unfortunately, there are some churches that are very selective in who they want to come to their church. Some just only want, you know, people in suits and ties, and then there's some that just want youth, and then there's some that... I understand that everyone has their way of worshiping God, but as Christians, we should never, ever turn someone away from the church. We should never turn a needing person away from the church. Sorry, did you want to say something? The other thing that I wanted to, that I got out of it is when Michael talked about the stages. With the stages, with that second stage where the thorns are trying to attack the seeds, to me that some people don't understand what the thorns could be. The thorns can be anything that tries to bring you down. It could be a person that just puts you down for being a good person or being who you are. It could be bad exams. It could be a bad teacher. It could be you had an accident right after church. It could be there's a whole bunch of things that could make you just feel that you're being attacked, and a lot of the time that kind of leads to doubt about the faith. And so when you're starting to bring out those fruits, you start to doubt, and then those fruits start to wither. You start to doubt your faith. You start to doubt yourself, because you're just being attacked from left, right, and center. And the way to get through that stage, in my mind, in my belief, and please feel free to correct me, is you just got to be able to stay strong, and you got to be willing to have an open mind and not just push the word away when you get attacked. When a person, and I'm guilty of this, I've done it many times, when I feel like I'm being, you know, attacked by, you know, a whole bunch of things, you know, bad exams, bills. And when I say attacked, I don't mean like people actually attacking me. I mean like just the situation is getting, you know, a bit tough. I'll turn to God and be like, where are you? Where's your support? I need you. And I tend to forget that He's with me the whole way and He's supporting me. I was able to get through all those mishaps, all those bills, all those bad situations because of Him. I in no way have the strength on my own to get through it. And that's my view on it, at least.
Thank you, Richard, for that. And on that note, we shall come back, continue the discussion, and talk about the dangers of doubt. Welcome back to Cop the Voice Radio. With me I have
Michael.
And I have also
Richard.
Yes, our end of last segment, we were speaking about the parable of the sower, the kingdom, and then one of our portions that Richard opened up was the aspect of doubt. Now, how does doubt relate to our current period of Advent and how dangerous doubt is? And our Lord Jesus is a mastermind in order to help us in our doubts to the point that now I am going to have a period called Advent. A period of Advent means the coming of Christ, the coming of our Lord, come of our Savior. But before we do that in our next segment after this one here on the Advent, let's look at the danger of doubt. When a person doubts, it's deadly. Even to the point that we doubt our own self-confidence, doubt our own how we think and how we feel, even how we dress, and doubt to the point that I doubt, you know, doing a talk or in our work or even self-esteem that a woman can't cook, or even a cup of tea, even that the doubt that I'm a good woman or a good man or a good child or a good boy or a good girl. Dangerous. That's why we should never ever play on people's minds. The mind is a dangerous pot, not of gold, but of destruction. When we utilize this against other people in order to make them fall, in their own words or in their own play, we shouldn't be like that. We should be people of sons of righteousness, sons of God, sons of the eternal kingdom, sons of kingdom heaven, sons of the church. We should people that we're able to support other people. We should be able to raise people's self-esteem, raise people's self-confidence, but how they raise their children, how to support their husbands, how to support their wives, how to support families, how we support communities, how we support leaders in communities and churches. Michael.
Yeah, I think, Father, you're right. The doubt to try to transfer anything from a happy to bad or to sad. So for a student, am I able to finish this subject or to do it? No, you cannot. No, it's too hard. It's too difficult. So doubt try to put you down. Try to, now you're not able to do this. You're not able to do to do anything, especially as well we have more doubt in a spiritual life. So the devil try to make you doubt, you're not a good man, you're not going to see kingdom of heaven, you're not even nearby to it, or something like this. So all we're going to do, if we feel a doubt, all we ask, open our heart to God, ask for help, call him, pray for him. Our Lord Jesus Christ will open the mind, open the heart, and tell you, nah, that's all no good, that's not the right path, or this is the right one, what you're doing. So keep confident, keep do whatever you want to do. So I think doubt is the main thing. It's a sin of doubt, is if it's right to call it a sin of doubt. So the sin of doubt try to make you down, try to make you unhappy, try to make you unbelief. So the only way to overcome it is with pray and ask Lord for help.
In some circles, Michael, they call it the theology of doubt. Meaning to say that what causes doubt? What's the roots of doubt? And what is the solution of doubt? What does God sometimes allows doubt to happen in order for us that we are able to come close to him and to trust in him? And that's why sometimes it's called the theology of doubt. The aspect of, you know, the sin of doubt is that when I am in the midst of it and I doubt myself and doubt this and doubt that and so forth. But if we were to look at one of the aspects, that aspect is that me for a person, when I constantly put down a person in order to create doubts in their mind, in their hearts, even towards their own husband and their own wives and their own children, that's evil.
That's right. That's right, Father. It's the doubt. It's the root of doubt. Sometimes I look at it, it's when I rely on my knowledge, when I rely on myself more than I rely on my God. That's why I start to doubt in everything. The husband doubted his wife, or the wife doubted her husband. That's when she or he rely on himself or herself. Then forget everything about the God. If you put God in everything you do it in your life, I think this is the only way to get over doubt. That's how I look at it.
Nothing worse when a husband tells his wife that she's no good.
Exactly.
She's no good. She can't cook. She can't look after him. She can't look after the children. She can't do the basic things and so forth. You know, I want to say, how bad is that man towards his wife? Or even a woman, when she constantly abuse her own husband, or maybe a worker at work, or the children, because she wants to have power in her hand. It's unfortunately that does happen from time to time. So we need to be very wise in how we deal with each other. We deal with each other with love, with kindness, with compassion. That way, doubt will never, ever be placed in the minds, in the heart in the heart of an individual. Nothing worse when a woman says that my husband doubts in me, or another co-worker, you know, is placing doubts in how I ought to function in my work, because he always puts me down, or she always puts me down. So this is disaster. So not only that, they go home. They can't think. They can't deal with their own husband or deal with their own children, because they already got this doubt at work, because they don't feel unsecured. They feel unsecured. They feel unhappy. Then when you're trying to pray, you can't pray, because you feel that God is upset from you.
That's exactly right, Father. Yeah.
And that's why we ourselves, as sons of righteousness, we should always be the supportive person and focus on the good points. You are a good woman. You are a good man. You are a holy woman. You are a holy man.
I think, Father, on top of what you're saying, or to add what you just said, to be supportive, you need to God to guide you in your life, to have ability to support each other and to love each other. That's God's work in every individual of us.
I love the expression. It is God's work in every individual, which means that God desires that we support one another,
exactly,
not to destroy each other. Richard.
Yes, Father. That's a very important point there, not to destroy each other. Unfortunately, nowadays, a lot of people just tend to go against each other for very, very small reasons, and some reasons that shouldn't destroy friendships, reasons that shouldn't destroy families. These reasons are often very trivial, and they just inflict so much damage from the fighting and from the trying to bring down the other person, and it's not good for either side. The doubt that starts to play in a person's mind when you're just playing like games in the back, and just you know, even if it's at work and you're with your colleague and you're saying, you know, oh, next time do it this way and next time do it that way, that after time and time and time, it tends to, you know, take effect on a person, because the person starts doubting themselves, starts doubting their ability. Maybe I can't do this. Maybe she's better than me. Maybe I should be doing something else. And that kind of starts playing games in the mind. And as you said, Father, the mind is just a pot of destruction. And it's a very, very powerful destruction. It's not just a simple doubt. It's you start to think very deeply about it. It starts to take over your day. When you're left alone just watching TV, it starts to creep in the back of your mind. And that's one of the things that leads to mental illness. It leads to things like depression, anxiety, antisocial behavior. Many things come out of these kind of behaviors. Many things come out of these kind of, quite literally, as you said, evil attacks. And if anyone is doing that to someone else, I pray that you realize that it's very wrong and very hurtful, and I hope that you cease to do it. And if a person is going through it, don't worry, because God is always with you. Don't doubt yourself. You know yourself. You're the expert in your own personality. You're the expert in yourself, not someone else. And I thoroughly advise for you to talk to someone if these thoughts are coming in your mind.
And on that point, we shall turn to the coming of Advent.
Float. metronome, sink into a rhythm, breathing in stereo, like punching underwater, reaching out in slow motion, cresting and breaking oxygen oceans, and I float, float, float. And I float, float, float. Inhale, Stephen, and I'm lingering like smoke, trailing now, I'm seeping out, chasing the wind blow.
Welcome back to Coptic Voice Radio. We're talking about now Advent. What is Advent? Advent is the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what Advent is? The coming of our Lord. Now, the Old Testament is filled with prophecies concerning about the Messiah, about the Christ, about Jesus. And we read this right throughout the Old Testament, that the Christ to come, the Messiah to come, the Jews were always waiting and looking for the Messiah, to the point that every family, every woman that was giving birth to a boy was pondering, is my son that I'll give birth, or I've given birth, is the Messiah. That's why everyone loved to have a baby boy, because they was always hoping for the coming of the Messiah. When we look at Isaiah and the prophets of Isaiah, mind you, I am paraphrasing now, a son is born to us. A king is born to us. And the government shall be on his shoulder. So we have this expression, wonderful words of Isaiah, that a child is born unto us, a virgin shall conceive and give birth. And obviously, when we look at all these wonderful concepts of how a virgin shall conceive and give birth to a son and call his name Emmanuel, which is God is with us, all of this was fulfilled in the person Jesus. Christ came for you and me. This Sunday, that is tomorrow, is the last Sunday before Advent. In the Coptic Rite, the Copts commences the Advent on the 25th of November. Every church next Sunday week will be celebrating the first Sunday of Advent. Off air, I was having a discussion with Michael. Michael, by the way, is a world-learned scholar. I love him when he comes and joins us, by the way. World-learned world scholar. The man knows his stuff back to front, as though he knows it back to front behind his hands and through his hands. And he made a point, it's 6 weeks. The Western calendar is 4 weeks. But the COPS adds an extra 2 weeks. The next 2 weeks, by the way, is because our Coptic calendar at one stage did start it on the 29th of and 28th of August. But until Pope Gregory happened to put new calendar in 1582, it went from 11th of September until the 7th of January. And we used to celebrate Christmas on 25th December. Anyway, that's another story for another day, another topic, another segment. Back to Advent. Advent. We all look forward for Advent because we read the prophecy. And why we obviously talked about the parables of the soils the last 2 weeks. Last week and this week. Why? Because the parable of the soils is preparing our hearts to receive the King. Who is the King? None other than Jesus. Who is the King to be incarnated? None other than Jesus. Who is the King that we're looking for? None other but Jesus. Now, Michael, what reflection on Advent?
I think, Father, Advent, that means Jesus born in any, in every individual heart, open his heart to accept the glory of the King. So that's the main point for me. The Advent is Jesus be in every individual heart, open everyone's heart to reach kingdom of heaven.
Thank you very much, Michael. And also, you know, it's the preparing the mind, preparing the hearts. Where is the manger is going to be established in the heart of man? Where is the manger be established in the heart of the house? Where is the manger going to be? Is there a place in the manger? Is there a place in the inn? The inn here is our hearts. The inn here is where the manger will be. So we've got to prepare all this. You know, yes, we enjoy the festivities, but where is the inn and where is the manger in order to prepare for the birth of Jesus? And after a short break, we're going to come back and talk about the Festival of Lights, the Feast of the Hanukkah.
The kisses of the sun were sweet, I didn't blink, I let it in my eyes. Like an exotic drink, the radio playing songs that I have never heard, I don't know what to say. Oh, not another word, just la 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 la.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Coptic Voice Radio. Last Wednesday, I was at New South Wales Parliament, where the New South Wales Parliament celebrated the Feast of Hanukkah, which is the Jewish Festival of Lights. And it remembers the rededication of the second Jewish temple in Jerusalem, which happened around about 160 BC before Jesus was born. Hanukkah is the Jewish word for dedication. Hanukkah lasts for 8 days. And that's why you'll find that, you know, there's a candle of 9 candles. And there's one in the middle, the start in the middle, and they light one every night until the 8th night. And this whole celebration commences on the 16th of December until the 24th of December. I mean, I want to, that was last year, 2014, but this year, in 2015, my apologies, it will commence on Sunday, the 6th of December until the evening of the 14th of December. So it shows you this wonderful expression. Now, I thought about this Festival of Lights. Who is the light of the world? None other than Jesus himself. I mean, how beautiful that our Lord prepares this festival way in advance for his coming. We did speak about the Advent segment of the last segment before this one here. So here we have the candle, and you know that they have this candle of 8 candles and one in the middle lights it through. And I remember being one of the Jewish rabbis on at Parliament House, talked about the miracle, and the miracle was found in the book of Maccabees. How about a drop of oil that lasted 8 days? And that miracle was that oil lasted for 8 days. A drop of oil lit and lighted a candle for 8 days. That was the miracle. And I was wondering, when we look at the miracle of our, in the Old Testament or the New Testament, there's many miracles that God stamps for us to believe, because he is the light of the world. Off air, Michael was talking to me about a Hindu festival. And again, the Festival of Lights. Michael, what was the festival called?
I think it's called Diwali or something.
Diwali, yes, yeah. That is correct. And here, again, Festival of Lights. How beautiful God, you know, prepares the minds for people to receive the Word of God. And I do believe that God works his own mysterious ways purposely with every nation in order for them to understand that God is light. God is light. God is light. Open our minds, our hearts to receive his words. God is light, that it's enlightenment. Enlightens our heart, enlightens our thoughts. God desires us that we have liberty. Liberty what? From sin. Liberty from, you know, to be free from slavery. So this liberty is wonderful. The whole expression. And truly, Jesus is Lord. And this whole aspect all around us brings us to the one common point that Jesus is the light of the world. And after this short break, we shall continue in our program this afternoon. Thank you.
respected the world, but it flew away from her reach, so she ran away in her sleep.
Been having a wonderful afternoon this afternoon, and nothing more beautiful. We'll talk about the parables, and we started with a parable, we'll end with a parable. Why did Jesus, you think, spoke in parables? Many times, you know, we have our own wives. Don't speak to me in parables. Tell me what you want to say. And I have Michael, by the way, have a big smile on his face because, you know, he's obviously confronting the same issue as I have and many other men as well, parables. So why did Jesus spoke in parables? So that the eye cannot see and the ear cannot hear. I mean, obviously, what I've said now, it's confusing because these are some of the words that Jesus spoke about. Because Jesus spoke about, for example, the parable of the kingdoms, the parable of the soils, the parable of the lost son, the parable of, you know, the dragnet, the parable of, you know, the rich man, and the parable of many things. All of this in order for us to put in perspective about the kingdom of heaven. And obviously, it is for us to search the kingdom of heaven, to search who and where about the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus always referred to us about the kingdom of heaven. And sometimes he used similes to help us to understand. So the kingdom of heaven, the power of the kingdom of heaven is for our learning, for our seeking, for our searching. And because we, humanity, human being, has a broad mind, the parable is for the broad mind, that every human being is able to think about it. The poor, the rich, the wise, the foolish, the simple, the hard man, the difficult man, the complex man, the simple man. So has a broad being, everyone in, brings everyone into the picture. Michael.
I think, Father, parable maybe is much easier to everyone to understand and like easy explanation for what Jesus want to say to us.
I think, Michael, you're so right. Meaning, sort of, why do we have the stars? And why do we have the sun for? Why do we have the moon for? And always brings us light, the aspect of light. So you're very right. You know, why do we have flour? To make bread. Why is flour so important? To make bread. Why are we so important? To make flour. So obviously you as a baker, you know, bring this whole aspect, the richness. So, so beautiful. And it draws us to our next segment. Did you know?
Did you know that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords?
Did you know that God is always there to protect you?
Did you know the parables of the soils is there for us to prepare our hearts for the coming of our Lord Jesus?
Did you know, if you ask God to light your heart, He's the light of lights?
Did you know that if you're thinking of anything and doubting yourself, there are people out there that can talk to you and you can just open up to them?
Did you know that Jesus loves you?
Did you know you have been listening to Coptic Voice Radio, a program proudly brought to you by Coptic Orthodox Diocese and affiliated regions, proudly sponsored by Coptic Media Association. If you wish to write to us, you can do so by CopticVoiceRadio@gmail.com. Or you can contact us by Facebook, which is at www.facebook.com/Coptic Voice Radio. Or you can share us, like us, and follow us. You can also download our podcast through the podcast app on Apple devices, the podcast app on BlackBerry devices, and an app called Stitcher for Android devices.
And now it's time for us to say goodbye for another weekend. We hope that you enjoyed the Coptic Voice Radio, the steps to the kingdom of heaven. Hope that you enjoyed it to the point that you said, Lord, please help me come closer to you. And may the period of Advent be a period where I prepare my heart, my mind, my thoughts, to have a small manger, more in for you to come and grow and live and be born on Christmas Day. May Jesus bless you. Have a GW, which stands for a great weekend. When Monday morning comes, a GW, a great week. A May God bless you. Sign out. This is Father Scrum of the Pants Will Fall, Coptic Voice Radio. Shall see you next week. God bless.
May the love of God, the Father, the grace of His only begotten Son, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Depart in peace. May the peace of God be with you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever.